So in last week's Parsha, we heard of Abraham's practice of Gemalut Chasidim. This is our first encounter with the mitzvah of Chesed. And Sheila helped us look deeper into what it means to welcome strangers. Today's Parsha continues on the theme. In Parsha Chaya Sarah, we meet Rebecca, who is also an exemplar of Chesed. Aviva Zornberg writes, as Rebecca runs back and forth at the well, eagerly providing for the needs of the servant and the camels, she resembles Abraham welcoming his angel guests, impatient, energetic, overflowing with love, chesed. In fact, the text uses the word chesed four times in the space of two chapters, underlying the trait in relation to Rebecca. Abraham's welcoming of the strangers embodied radical hospitality in the tradition of Bedouin culture. Rebecca's practice of chesed is also radical, maybe even more so, because she does it all alone, unlike Abraham, who had Sarah to do all the cooking and cleaning for the guests. For Rebecca to fetch water by herself for the 10 camels of Eliezer until they finished drinking was a Herculean task. Camels have been known to drink 50 gallons of water in 3 minutes when not thirsty. At a minimum, Rebecca was running around carrying 500 gallons of water while dodging saliva from 10 thirsty camels. If Abraham and Rebecca are exemplars of Chesed, are we expected to follow their examples by also carrying 500 gallons of water for any thirsty stranger who comes along? I want to explore today whether the English translation of Chesed really captures these biblical examples and how we might find other ways of understanding what Chesed is and what it means to embody this value. Most of the time, we translate Chesed as loving kindness. Yet Alan Marinus, the founder of the Musar Institute, suggests that perhaps a better English translation could be generous, sustaining benevolence. Certainly, the Bedouin practice of helping a stranger survive in the desert and ensuring that 10 hungry camels have water are acts of generous, sustaining benevolence, radically generous. The word chesed appears in the Torah 245 times, two-thirds of those times in relation to God's character and actions. As Marina says, God is constantly engaged in sustaining all of creation through acts of chesed. When we act with sustaining generosity to others, not because they deserve it, but because we are being kind beyond any calculation of what they have earned from us or what we can get in return, then we are doing kindness in emulation of God's way of loving kindness. Gemalut Chasidim is a commitment to being a person who bestows benevolence in a generous and sustaining way. What made Abraham and Rebecca special was not that they just did deeds of chesed, but rather that they were people whose entire outlook on the world was through the lens of chesed. As the prophet Micah reminds us, we are asked to do justice, love chesed, and walk humbly with God. Abraham and Rebecca loved chesed. They found great joy in being of service. It was not a burden because they found the acts of chesed to be acts that enlarged their spiritual worlds rather than diminished them. To think of it in another way, Abraham's behavior is not really about love for the stranger, but rather a love of generosity, a love of giving. And Rebecca's behavior can't logically be thought of as just common courtesy, but rather a quality of her personality. She is a person who gives generously because she experiences generosity as a joyful action. We can also look to the Buddhist concept of metta to help us understand chesed, because metta is also translated and perhaps mistranslated as loving kindness. Thanissaro Bhikkhu, the abbot of the Metta Forest Monastery in San Diego, says, the Buddha's teaching of metta is to train us not to harm anyone, rather than to love everyone. Metta is a wish for happiness, for true happiness, something we wish for ourselves and everyone else. In the words of the Buddha, with metta for the entire cosmos, cultivate a limitless heart. Abbot Bhikkhu points out that when we define metta as loving kindness, we might think of our work, that our work is to cherish everyone and provide them with intimacy, nurturance, and protection, but this is a misunderstanding of metta. He writes, the identity of feeling love for everyone sounds very noble and emotionally satisfying, but when you really stop to think about all the beings in the cosmos, there are a lot of them who would react to your loving kindness with suspicion and fear. Rather than wanting your love, they would rather be left alone. Others might try to take unfair advantage of your loving kindness, reading it as a sign either of your weakness or of your endorsement of whatever they want to do. In none of these cases would your loving kindness lead to anyone's true happiness. You are left to wonder if the Buddha's instructions on universal metta are really realistic or wise. Instead, he says a better translation of metta is goodwill. When we practice metta meditation, we are cultivating an attitude of goodwill. We are wishing the other person well, while at the same time remembering that true happiness is something that ultimately each of us will have to find for ourselves. This understanding of metta originally comes from the Pali Canon, the earliest record of the Buddhist teachings. In the Pali language, the word for love is pema, whereas the word metta is related to the word mita or friend. Universal metta is friendliness for all. Another Buddhist commentary says that metta is not attachment and it is not an emotion. Metta is an attitude. The heart may indeed respond with warm and delicious feelings, but that's not metta. Metta is all the virtues you would ask of a good friend. And sometimes a good friend may tell you something you don't want to hear. Metta allows people to be truthful with us. Likewise, we should treat those who dislike us or whom we dislike with the same impartial goodwill. This is the meaning of love your enemy. You don't have to love someone to treat them with metta. In this way, metta is the basic relationship we should have with everyone, with all beings, even objects. Metta is the default position in the world, or with the world. So we have these two concepts, chesed and metta, and both are considered to be central default positions in how we relate to the world. Chesed as generous, sustaining benevolence, and metta as universal friendliness or universal impartial goodwill, a genuine desire not to harm anyone or anything. Neither of them really is about love, nor are they about simply being nice. Instead, chesed and metta inhabit a space that is larger than love while also embodying a seemingly simplicity. Of course, it's obvious. This is how we should behave. We are called to befriend ourselves, each other, the world, and everything in it. Thinking of chesed and metta in this way calls to mind the Sufi idea of the friend to describe the unfolding of being with us and around us. According to the Sufi teacher, Pir Elias Amidan, our responsibility as a friend is simply to love all that is. We might think this is a lot to ask, since we have our own problems to deal with. But it doesn't work that way. The deeper our appreciation for all of life, the more we realize it is a treasure to be given away. This is where our life becomes playful, in the giving of our appreciation, love, forgiveness, and wonder. We delight in giving it to everything we contact, especially to the next generation, since this gift, the gift of the friend, is the most precious of all. Let us take a few moments in silence, and then I would like to hear what you all have to say.